Thank you, Lord, that you help us to receive everything that you have for us and not leave anything on the table. In Jesus' name, Jesus.
Amen.
Well, before I get started, if you don't have a Bible or don't have a way to read, somehow you need to. Because today, we are going to be speaking the word together. And if you don't have a way of doing that, you're going to be missing out what God is instructing us to do. So figure out a way. If you need a Bible, there's some up here. There's even a big one up here for somebody who doesn't have any. Anyway. We've been talking about interactive faith in several ways, and not just talking about faith, but interacting with the Word of God. Everybody got a way to read the Word? Because we're going to be going through the Word, and we're going to be speaking it out. So if you have different versions, it's okay. I'm going to be reading from King James.
Amen.
The Word is what I'm going to be speaking today. The Word brings forth the harvest. So not my words, but His words are going to be speaking today, because honestly, we all need His Word today. So many people need healing in many different ways. Physically, mentally, spiritually, which is everything. Financially, the Word is the answer to it all. It's just the answer. There is nothing outside of Jesus, the Word of God. That is the answer to everything we're facing today. You can look at this sermon and that sermon and that sermon and that sermon. If it's not bringing the truth of the Word of God, it's not going to deliver you. And if you don't take that truth and eat it and partake of it and let it become part of you, that is part, we have to do that. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so the Word becomes flesh in us as well. And as we speak the Word, it produces life. That's what the Word said. The Word says. So we're going to go to Proverbs. Well, let's start in Exodus first. Exodus 24. We've been going through. I didn't mark my Bible because I wasn't sure which Bible I was going to use, so I'll be looking with you. Exodus 24, 25, and 6.
Exodus 24, 20.
I don't have it.
Exodus 24. You don't have an Exodus 24.
It's only 18 verses long.
Pardon?
It's only 18 verses long.
Yes. Exodus 24. Okay. I don't know. I guess I wrote it down wrong. But here it is. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works.
What verse?
I guess I wrote down the wrong verse. So it's Exodus 24 something.
No.
No? Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Just listen to the word. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, and break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness from among your midst. This is when people were leaving and getting ready to leave, and God, this was a promise that God spoke to them.
23:24.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry. Next time, hopefully I got the next one right here. In Deuteronomy 26, it says, behold, I set before you this day blessings and curses. Obedience brings blessings, and disobedience brings a curse. Does everybody get that?
What verse?
Deuteronomy 26. God sets before his people blessings and curses. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings curses. Everybody get that?
Amen.
That's pretty simple. When we don't obey, curses come. Not because God wants us cursed, but because the enemy is there to oblige. God is not, God wants us blessed, and he gives us the way to the blessings. And the way to the blessings is obedience to his word. So let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 4, let's start at Proverbs 4. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, and forsake ye not my law. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. This is King Solomon. He taught me also, and he said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, and keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, and get understanding, and forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth, and forsake her not. She shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. I like the wisdom is a her. Her gets a bad rap sometimes in the Bible. The hers, the she's. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor, and when thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life may be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you go, your steps shall not be straightened. Thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, and let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Now let's look up over here to 21. Let these words not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are what? Life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So what is it that's health and life to us? It's the word of God. And it isn't just because it's in the Bible. It's because this is God's word to us. And we need to put it in our mouth and speak it. Speak it when we get up. Speak it when we go to bed. Speak it during the day. This is, delivers truth. And it not just delivers truth. It is a force to change us.
True.
It is a force that changes. And I know I've said that before, and I'll probably say it again the next time. Truth, God's word, is power, and it changes the circumstances of this life to line up with what he said. Because this life does not line up with what God says until it's practiced and until he delivers it through his people. We are his voice. We are the one that brings forth life through our mouth. And if we're speaking negative, we're bringing forth death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The reason I'm bringing this up is because we are all going through all kinds of situations that is really unprecedented. And will you say that, Aaron? Would you agree that we're going through unprecedented times?
In some ways.
Okay. Anybody else agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. I've been alive for 70-some years, and I've never seen that life as confusing, as intentionally evil. I guess the evil was hiding all my life. But it's come to the surface now. But not really. I've seen evil all my life, but I've never seen the body of Christ divided in the way that we're divided. I've never seen the things that I've seen today. How would you agree with that, Dr. Tellers?
There's a lot of division.
No, I'm not talking about the division. I'm talking about Oh, did you say there's a lot of division? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm not just talking about that. I'm just talking about the times that we live since I've been born.
This has been. We aren't calling things that are evil, evil anymore.
Pardon?
The church isn't calling what's evil, evil anymore.
That's right, Natalie. That is exactly right. The church isn't calling evil, evil anymore. They're calling
good,
whatever.
Evil, evil, good.
Yes,
correct.
Yes, yes. It is up to the church to begin speaking truth. And if we don't speak it over ourselves, if we don't speak it in the highways and byways, in our workplaces, where is it going to come from? I'm going to go up to... See, where did I leave off here? Let's go down to 20. My son, attend to my word. I'm in chapter 4, verse 20. I said this again, I'll say it again. My son, attend to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and they are health to all their flesh. What words are health to our flesh? God's words. They're health to our flesh. And they have to be spoken, or it's just written. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. And I would say froward being deceitful and devious, and perverse being that. My definition of perverse is that which is not true according to the Word of God. That's what my definition of perverse is. If it's contrary to the Word, it's perverse. So put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips far from us. Let our eyes look right on, and let our eyelids look straight before thee. And in Galatians 3:13, if you want to go there, I'll be jumping around a bit. Anybody got that yet?
Yes.
Do you have it? Speak it out.
3:13.
Uh-huh.
Got it.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
In Psalm 43, somebody want to read Psalm 43?
Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Keep going.
You can go ahead. Finish another sentence.
O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then I will go into the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God.
And does somebody have, will somebody, let's all turn to Psalm 103. Mm-hmm. God, would you read Psalm 103, 1 through 6?
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, and so great is his mercy toward us that fear him. So many people think, well, God's punishing me for this, or he's punishing me for that. The truth is that when we're not living in the will of God, or we're not walking in his word, we're punishing ourselves. God said right here, he's not punishing us. He corrects us. Correction's different than punishment. Saying to a child, oh, that's the wrong way to go, this is the way to go, is correction. Going over and whopping that child and saying, you didn't do it right, and giving them punishment, that's punishment. God corrects us. He's a loving father. Our punishment comes when we're walking out of his protection and the enemy likes to jab us. I'm convinced that our own ways are what disturb us, because God has set a path of health and wholeness and healing, and on through the scriptures, there's help and wholeness. God, out of our mouth we can speak it, out of our ways. God gives health and wholeness. And when we're walking with him, we need to know that we know that, so that the enemy doesn't have anything on us so he can get to us. Now the thing is that one thing that I have seen, and I'm sure each of us have seen this who've been walking with the Lord a while, that there are times when it looks like things are, there's not going to be a healing or whatever it looks like. And there are people I have seen who have been told that they were going to die. And I've seen them continue to believe the word of God, and they lived. I've also seen people who said they were going to die, and they die. So whatever the answer is, the word has it. As we are speaking the word over every situation that we're in, as we cling to the word of God, the word produces results. But the results are up to God, not up to us. We just stand and believe the word of God. We continue to walk out our salvation. We continue to believe him in every circumstance. His word should be in our mouth. Whatever it is, his word should be part of what example that is. If I'm, whatever that word is, God will give us a word in due season in a situation that we need. How many of you gotten a word in due season when you needed it in order to hold on to that in faith and see the salvation of God in that situation? Amen. We all have had that some way, and if we haven't, you need to know it's available. God will give you that word. There are times, and I'm talking about times in my past, that I have had desperate situations, and I haven't known exactly what to believe for that situation. And I will pray in the Spirit, and God will give me the scriptures, or he will speak the word to me, or he will bring a prophet, or he will bring someone to give us the word to stand on, and that we stand on that and believe that. And now we are not responsible for the results of the word. We're responsible to believe it, to speak it, to work it in our lives. God is responsible for the results. And it may not look like we think it should look like, but it will come to pass, whatever it is that God is doing, according to his word. It won't be contrary to his word. It will be according to his word. And now, I've seen things happen that didn't look like it was according to his word at the time. For whatever reason, I didn't know. But God works all things together for the good. And so whatever it is, that situation that we all face, whether it's health, whether it's whatever it is. I mean, anybody want to say a financial need or whatever the situation is that you need direction. God will give you His word. And we don't just take it for granted. We begin to speak it and pray it and thank Him for it. We begin to thank Him for it before we see it. We need to work the word. The word just doesn't, it isn't just automatic. It's no more automatic than if you have a hammer and you expect that hammer to hammer the nail in without you picking it up and hammering it. The word is like a hammer, but we have to handle it. God gave us His word to handle it. And how do we handle it? We receive it, we believe it, we meditate on it, and we speak it. Now, I don't know, you know, it says that God had thoughts of us before He created us. But until He spoke it, there was no creation. So if we just think about it and kick the can down the road, so to speak, we have to work the word the way we do a hammer to get a hammer, the hammer in the thing. We have to work it in every situation. And you know, it takes effort. You know, it takes effort to do that. It really takes effort. And so many times, we just don't have the time. We're too busy. And we want God to do it instantly, and if He doesn't do it instantly, well, we go on our way and do it next time. But the Word requires us to work it. That's just all there is to it. It's an instrument of God that He's given us to bring life. And we work it by meditating on it. As we meditate on it, it stirs our faith to believe in it. Then we speak it, and we begin speaking it and thanking Him and speaking it and thanking Him. And we don't, if it doesn't happen in a day, okay. If it doesn't happen that instant, I know when Jesus prayed, you know, it seemed like it was always instant or most of the time. Sometimes it took a couple minutes or whatever, or it took an act of faith on their part to walk and do what God said, and then it came to pass. But it requires something of us. Jesus said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But it's faith that we have to work. We have to work the word. And I know I'm repeating myself, but I have to remind myself of that all the time. I don't have a preacher coming to me every day saying, okay, remember that. And I'm reminding you because there are challenges today that we're all facing that are very difficult. Would you agree with that, Aaron?
Yeah.
Thank you. We are all facing challenging situations in our lives. But the answer is always Jesus. Hello? You know where your answer comes from?
Jesus is the answer.
Yes, He's the answer. And where do we get the answer from? The Word of God.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
So no matter what it is, I don't care how small or great, no matter what it is, can anybody here think of a testimony that you want to share where God met you at the last minute and you just almost gave up, but He met you? Can you think of anything that God met you in the last hour? Jeff?
It wasn't at the last hour, but there was a time whenever I came upon a car wreck and I found a person that had just recently passed. And if you've ever been around anything like that or seen anything like that, it's very unnerving. And I know that when the situation was over with and I returned to work and everything like that, at the time I was running a road grader. And I can remember climbing up in that road grader and telling Jesus, I said, Jesus, I need you. And I need you right now. And I can remember it was like He just came up there and sat down beside me. put his arm around me and began to love on me. And the thing that I remember about that is all the people that were involved in that situation, they kept running after him. Do you need to talk to a psychiatrist? Do you need, you know, this kind of things? And I told him, no, I'm good. I'm good. And so I know that he was there for me. And I thank you for it.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else think? I know you all have those experiences. And we need to share our experiences one with another. And this is important. This is what the Lord said he wanted us to do tonight. He wants you to encourage each other through your testimonies and to listen to the word.
I heard
that. Can you stand up? I don't know if anybody can hear you.
I heard the buck that the guy in the green shirt was the blessing.
You heard what?
The buck that the guy gave in the green shirt was the blessing in tithing or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else have something you want to share?
God did that for me.
Stand up so back here now.
With my financial aid, that was a long time ago now, but, the first time that I went to college, I didn't exactly, exit well. So when I came back to go back to school, I had all this, stuff that I had to work through because of that low GPA and whatnot. So it was a constant struggle with getting financial aid. And I had gotten a letter in the mail, and it just basically said that I wasn't going to get financial aid, and that was it. And so I walked into, it may have been the president's office at the community college I was going to, and I didn't even have to argue, it just changed like that, and he said, "You're good," and it was done, and it was just really awesome.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we need to hear encouragement from one another. And I pray, Father, you put on the hearts of each one of us what we need to share tonight that will encourage others. In Jesus' name, I just pray that right now. And I just thank you for your faithfulness in every situation in our lives, Lord. Because you've been there. You've been there through every situation, even when it didn't feel like you were there. And Lord, one day we'll be able to see where you were there. But we just thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else want to volunteer?
I get it. Oh, go ahead. Oh, I was going to tell something.
Were you going to volunteer? Dr. Good. Dr. Tobes?
Oh, I thought you said...
I
saw Megan come in, and I thought we were... I'll be sitting.
Hello. No, not done yet.
Mark has something.
Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Stand up so everybody can hear you, because doesn't do us any good if we can't hear you.
Okay. Well, for 30 years I had athlete's foot, and like from 73 to 2003, it was just a constant annoyance, and I wish that I couldn't get rid of it, Because you keep catching it from your shoe, you'll get rid of it. So what happened was, I was like up at 3 a.m. and Benny Hinn was just finishing his. Anyway, he said, send $77 and a prayer request. So I did. I got a hold of $77 because he said, God said, can I mail it to him, Said, send $77 and a prayer request like that, And then I want my athlete's foot to go away. And then I had some other requests also, but that was the immediate one. As soon as I mailed that letter, it just went away, Now, somebody else in the household had caught it from me. They continued to have it. But mine was gone.
It's called passing the buck. $77.
Then I remember... I think somebody gave me a pair of socks at work, and it seemed like it was coming back. I caught it from the socks, right? And I just prayed. I said, Jesus, you took this away. I don't want it back. And it disappeared again. It didn't come back any But I could feel it starting to itch, and then I just reminded him that I didn't want that back, you know. And so it's still gone, you know, after 2003, almost 20 years now, you know. So that was my own.
Okay.
And that's, yeah. So
it's a good testimony.
Yeah, I mean, I just, and he said, send $77 and a prayer request. God had told him to inform us, whoever was walking the program that.
Amen. Thank you. You know, I had a miracle like that one time. I had a miracle like that when I was taking down my Christmas tree, and it was a very, very difficult time in my life. I think I had a dime to my name, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was taking down a Christmas tree, and the TV was on, and there was a man on TV that said, God said, if you send this amount of money, I'll meet your need. Same type of thing. I didn't even have $58. But I got it in the mail that day. I got $58. It might have been a little bit more, but I sent it. And from that time on, until the time that I got a job, which was about 2.5 years at the time, before I got a regular job, God supplied my needs supernaturally. Supernaturally. I'll never forget that. Ever. You know. There's something to faith, being obedient in faith. And when you're obedient to the Lord, and I knew it was the Lord. I mean, that doesn't mean every time somebody on TV says that, I do that. I mean, that's not it. It's the timing of God, no, hearing his voice speaking to you at that moment. And it was a big miracle for me. Natalie, your turn.
Oh gosh, I mean, there's been so many times God has met us, especially in the last year.
Tell us about it.
Well, I'll give you one example. When Justin left Violet's laser company, the last weekend he was there, he made this enormous sale. But because the doctor wasn't going to pay a lump sum, he was going to pay in increments. He had paid the first increment, and the company was not going to count that towards his commission because the whole thing wasn't paid off. And six months later, we had a mortgage payment due literally the next day. And we checked our bank account, and for some reason, the company had installed deposited the full commission on that huge laser, and it sustained us for several months. I mean, they didn't have to do that. We had asked for them for the money, and they said no, but for some reason, they decided to go ahead and give us that money. But that's happened so many times. Like,
glory to God.
Just that God's met us at the last hour.
Amen. Anybody else want to share before we go on and bring the word? Aaron, you got a testimony?
Well, I mean, I have a few, but one of the ones, since we mentioned money, one of the ones that came to mind was Alyssa and I, we have bank accounts for our personal money so that where our personal expenses, if we need to eat out or something, is taken care of. But I had some money there and I didn't know where it came from. And so I donated it. To help support women in Africa that were coming out of prostitution. They had established a community for women that were former prostitutes that had become Christians. And so I helped support that. And then the money came back again. Because he rewards givers.
He does.
Yes, he does.
And, I mean, he's done that for a long time. And even before he got married, I didn't have enough money for my expenses, so I kept donating. I kept giving more money to God, more money to the church, and I would get a raise, and then I would give, and then I would increase my tithe, and then I would get another raise, and then I would increase my tithe. And I stopped doing that when he had doubled my salary from where I was. He'd almost doubled it. And Alyssa and I finally had enough. I had enough to support me and Alyssa whenever we got married. With her support that she got with law school stuff.
Praise God. That's a powerful testimony. That's Malachi.
Yep.
Somebody was asking me the other day, you know, about the insurance. And I said, I have insurance, I'm a tither. I forgot what it was they were asking about insurance about, but yes, I said, I have insurance. I know what it was. They have this law now, okay? That they've come out, this insurance, new way to get your money for insurance, you know. If you own your home, you're going to have to get insurance because somebody might steal it from you, right? Well, that's what they advertise on radio or TV or wherever I hear it. I'm not sure where I hear it. You know, you need insurance because they're going to steal your house.
Identity theft.
Yeah.
Mortgage.
And somebody was asking me about that a couple days ago, and I said, yes, I have insurance. I'm a tither, I'm a giver, I have insurance. And God's promise is my insurance. I mean, if you think about it, you could get everything, you could take your whole salary insurance if you had to want to insure everything. it's quite a racket. But God is our insurance, and He is a protector, and He has protected me in so many ways. And I know He's protected all of you. So I'd like to read Isaiah, the word the Lord said me to read tonight. Isaiah 33, starting at 14. This is a word the Lord gave me, and I've given it to you several times over the years. But it was a very powerful word the Lord gave me when I was really concerned about the end times and how things were going to play out. And I didn't have a very good feeling about it. And the Lord said, the sinners in Zion, this is 33:14. He says, it's the sinners in Zion that are afraid, for fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? And who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gains of oppressors, that shakes his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. That was a scripture the Lord told me, don't watch any bloody stuff anymore, if you can help it. He shall dwell on high, and his place of defense shall be the munition of rocks, and bread shall be given him, and his water shall be sure. And thine eyes will see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that's very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counts the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords therein be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, and He will save us. That was what the Lord gave. That there is no reason for those who are righteous to be afraid. It is the others that should be afraid. And I said, you're right, Lord. Because you have an answer for all things. And you are always with us. And you need to help us, Father, right now. In this hour of critical situations that we all face. That to remember that have to have an eternal perspective, because circumstances will not make sense. Circumstances in this life will never make sense to our mind. Then we may think they will, we may have it all figured out for a little while, and then you never know what's going to happen. Then this happens, or that happens, you know, and then you're back right where, if we keep an eternal perspective, this is but a short time of training. We are training for reigning. And those who overcome Those who overcome shall eat the good of the land. And every single person here are overcomers. You're called the overcomers. And so because we are overcomers, we will see the land of the living. We will see the good in the land of the living. We will see our God. But don't just keep your eyes focused on today and tomorrow. Remember, this is an eternal walk. And God, you have an eternal future. And so, I don't know about you, but lately I've been thinking, you know, where do we go from here, God? Where do we go in America? Where do we go? You ever been thinking about that? Have you been thinking about that? What's going on? Keep our eyes focused on the Lord and the Word of God, because it is Him. He is our bread. He will always be our sustenance. He's always going to be our daddy. I don't care what circumstance we're in. He's always going to be there. Always. Always. And His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I want to encourage you to meditate on the Word. Don't just pick it up and read it. Meditate on it. Ask the Lord to show you how to take what you're reading and apply it in every situation. Or ask Him what word He wants to give us for each situation. Because there are things that He wants to give us out of the Word that we are to speak, we are to meditate on, and we are to think on. And I'll give you one last example, and you've heard it before, but it bears repeating because people are still under stress. I have slept off stress. It's gone out of my life. Nothing stresses me. And you say, oh, that can't be true. It is true. Because I have meditated on the Word. And God said He's perfecting everything that concerns us. And I tell you, Dr. Tillers, I want you to meditate on that Word. I want you to get rid of all that stress. All of us. How many here has stress? You can get rid of it. I'm serious. Nobody could have told me that before. But the Word works. It works. And it worked in me, and it worked in me. And when I started meditating on it, it was challenging at first. I had every opportunity to think it wasn't working. But then God did it. God took that thing and made it internal. He took that Word and made it internal in me. And it changed everything. Everything. My whole vision changed. Stress, you know, if it comes knocking, I just wave, you're in the wrong house, so to speak. It is amazing. Take the Word. Meditate on it. Chew it. Ask God how to walk it out. And that Word changes who we are on the inside. It changes us. And I can't emphasize that enough. And I sound like a kindergartner telling the kids, you know, eat your peas. But I'm telling you, the peas produce good something in your body. So I'm going to keep saying, eat your peas. Meditate on the Word now more than ever. Whatever you need from the Word, meditate on it. Meditate. Think about it. Let it become internal in you, because it works, folks. It works. Amen. Father, I just thank You that Your Word does work. Your Word is working in us. Help us to work with it, with You, Lord. Help us to take that hammer and use it as You would have us use it, to get that Word inside and for You to bring that Word alive. Because that power, we can't understand it, Lord. I don't understand how speaking Your Word and meditating on it changes us. But it does, and help us, Lord. Help us to be mindful of that every moment of every day, in every circumstance we face, no matter how big and how small. Lord, bring it to us. Bring it to us in every situation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.